Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to Corinthians. Book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Before we get started, I meant to mention also, if you want some good tacos and rice, Brother Rosignol and his son Chris, they made street venison tacos. Is that what they were called? And Cuban venison rice. Is that good enough? And they got second and third place. But they were beat out by a 12-year-old kid with squirrel gravy. So he shot them himself. He made a point of that. But no, we had a great time up there yesterday. Thank you to all those that went with us. It was really good fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as we continue on in our stewardship month, we're looking today at probably the one part of stewardship month that we tend to cringe a little bit sometimes. And I'm not saying that for everybody. Some of us, we know we're in God's will with this, but talking about our treasure, you know, we talk about our treasure. Of course, we're talking about time and talents, treasure, the truth, our testimony. We break it all down into different categories there, being good stewards. And today's topic is about the treasure, being stewards over the treasure that God's given us. Now, it's not just talking about the money in your bank account there. You know, the treasure can be our belongings, any of our belongings that God's given us, our house. Aren't you thankful that God gave you a house today? I like to be able to go home, and that thermostat is set right there at the temperature that's most comfortable. I'm not freezing to death. I'm not sweating. There's a roof over our head, especially here in a couple hours, if it does what they say it's going to do. Aren't you glad you have a roof over your head and a vehicle to get you where you need to go? And even in our vehicles, they're nice and warm. They keep us cool in the summer. You think of how much God's blessed us. You know, we've got so much to be thankful for in little things. But all these treasures that God has given us in our finances and in the bank, being able to just simply pay the bills, isn't that a blessing? You know, especially this day and age that we live in with the economy the way it is and, you know, the way it's going, they say it's going to be getting worse before it gets better. You know what? I thank God I have a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he's promised me I'll never have, as long as I'm in his will, obeying him, he'll take care of me. And that's a blessing to know. But, you know, with what he has given us, he has told us these treasures that God has given us to be good stewards of these treasures. And as we've been looking at this idea of stewardship, we see, we've made mention of it several times, how it is a choice that you make. God will not force you to be a good steward. It's like he will not force you to be saved. You know, he does touch our hearts. He convicts us. He has shown us in his word what we are to do, how to be a faithful steward. Now, if we're not faithful stewards, he can't take it away from us. Okay? But it is a choice that God has given us to obey him, to be found faithful as a steward. Okay? And that goes in talking about any of the categories of time, treasure, talents, your testimony, the truth. We're to be good stewards in these areas. This verse here wraps up, you know, we're using it as our text here this morning, along with another verse we'll look at here in just a moment. We're using it as our text, but it can be applied to any area of stewardship as we looked at. You know, we like to have a reason that we are told to obey something. Don't you agree? You know, when somebody asks or tells you or makes especially a command to do something, you kind of like to know why you're doing that, right? Well, God gave us a reason, if not that we needed one from God, but he gave us many reasons through the Bible. But this verse here wraps it up into why we need to obey God and the idea of stewardship. Look in chapter 6, look in verse 20. We read verse 19 and 20 a lot, but I want to just focus on verse 20. Why should you be a good steward? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Why should we obey God and being a good steward, being found a faithful steward in any of the areas that we talk about? Well, because he's bought us. We belong to him. We are God's. And if we ourselves are God's, then everything we have belongs to God as well. And I don't think any of us in here this morning that any of us would sit here and argue over that point. Now, whether you honestly believe it in your heart or not, that's between you and the Lord. That's proven out in the way that we are that we do obey God. We put action behind it. There's even a deeper verse here. I want you to go to John chapter 3. Flip over to the Gospel of John there, chapter 3. Look in verse 30. Chapter 3 and verse 30. Very simple verse here, but a very profound verse when we're talking about this idea of stewardship. He must increase, but I must what? Decrease. Another reason that further describes the reason we seek to be a good steward. Well, it's simply because he must increase. In order for that to happen, I must decrease. The study of stewardship and the principle of stewardship is all about making a choice on how to use what God has given you, whatever resources it is. You know, the prayer that we should have for one for another and for our own lives is that we make the choice to follow and obey God's will, especially in this idea of stewardship that he's given us. Not just during January, and then we kind of keep going in February, but by March we're starting to forget what God had touched our hearts about in stewardship month. That's what happens. You know, I'll speak for myself. You know, we have revival services. What is one of the purposes of revival services? To be what? Revived, right? Pretty simple. To get that excitement stirred up again, and then to renew different things and different decisions and different things, get your life straight with God again and get back in his will and serving him. But a lot of times, if we're not careful, a few weeks after that revival service, we don't even remember what was preached during the revival service. And those things just kind of leave our minds and leave our lives. And it's the same thing idea with stewardship. You've got to make the choice to make this a part of your daily life with the Lord, to be a good steward. And that leads us to what we're talking about here this morning, is talking about our stewardship of his treasure. It is all his, amen? Do we agree with that? Everything I have belongs to the Lord. He's made me a steward of it. He's given it to me and allowed me to do with what I want with it to honor and glorify him with it. Okay? There is some of it that belongs to him, period. It doesn't belong to me at all. Of course, we'll be looking at that, and that's our tithes, of course. And then we also give offerings. All the resources that God gives us is placed into our care with the purpose of being a good steward over that. I want to reference a few things here this morning that can help us be a good steward of our treasure, specifically. Our treasure is what we're looking at here today. You know, just to remind you before we look at these, we've divided them up into different attitudes. I hope you have a good attitude this morning, amen? You know, don't let the snow discourage you. Just put that out of our minds for a little bit, okay? You know, there's things that happened this week that maybe we woke up this morning and it came to mind right away and we just woke up with a bad attitude about things. Sometimes we just got to change our attitude, right? With this idea of stewardship, especially when it comes to our finances and our treasures here, we're going to talk about some different attitudes to help us be a good steward over these treasures. But any part of stewardship, let me remind you first, this is a spiritual matter. I know it deals with the physical realm. Our finances, our talents, and our treasures, and the truth, and all this, that, and the other. But it's a spiritual matter as to whether or not we obey it, whether we live by it or not. So ask God to touch our hearts with this as we look at this. Attitude number one. There's five attitudes we're going to look at. We'll see how far we get here with this morning. If not, we'll finish it next time. The five attitudes we want to look at. Number one, we should give, be good stewards, out of conviction. Conviction. You know, in fact, Pastor and I, we were just talking about convictions this past week and one morning. And when you have a conviction as a Christian, specifically what we're talking about here at the Bible, be sure that it is based on Scripture. Don't base your convictions based on the newspaper or Fox News or even like the Reader's Digest or, you know, some Dr. So-and-so that said this or that. Always base your convictions on the Bible, on Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3. Go there with me. Verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Why do we say we need to be good stewards over our treasures? Well, this verse here is a good basis in Scripture on why we should be, to give us the conviction of being a good steward of our treasure. Honor the Lord, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy what? What's the next word? Substance. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. What are we talking about there? Our tithes. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with thy the first fruits of all thine increase. I would say, you know, one thing I love about the Bible is God sets things out crystal clear for us, doesn't he? When it comes to the topic of salvation, now man tries to mix it all up, and he's done a pretty good job of it. But when you sit down and you read the Scripture for what it says, not what man's added to it or taken away from it, for what it says, word for word, it's crystal clear. Crystal clear. The idea of tithes and offerings being a good steward of our treasures, God has given us more than enough biblical foundation to have a conviction that this is what's right. This is what I must live by. Conviction, you think about this. What's so big about having an attitude that we should give out of conviction? Why is that so important? Well, conviction plays a big part in your obedience. When you're convicted about something, you'll obey in a different way. You'll obey completely. You'll obey thoroughly. You'll do your best to obey. Why? Because you believe it as a conviction. Sometimes we don't think twice about obeying a certain command or a burden simply because we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts about it. We see it in the Bible. We know it's there. But we have not allowed God to make it a conviction that we believe, that we agree on. And if we're not careful, when we keep doing that, we keep denying the Holy Spirit to convict us about things and to lay in our lives and in our hearts certain foundations and principles to believe in and live by, and it drives us to obey God. If we're not careful, we can harden our hearts so much that the Holy Spirit will stop convicting us. It's a very dangerous place to be. But number one, we need to have this attitude that when it comes to our stewardship over our treasure, we should give to the Lord out of conviction. It's right. It's what the Bible says. You know, it didn't come out of Pastor Vinton Williams, chapter 1, verse 20, or any other pastor that's ever preached on tithes and offerings. It's biblical. God said it. It should therefore be a conviction that we believe. And in order to make it a conviction, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you about it. Allow that to happen. Have that attitude. Have a soft heart toward the Lord. Amen? Attitude number two. We should give with clarity. Clarity. We said just a minute ago, when the Bible speaks about giving, about being a good steward over what God has given us, the Bible's clear. It's clear. It's not confusing. You know, I talked with a gentleman down in Puerto Rico when he started coming, and you know, we preached, it was mentioned in the message or somehow about tithing. And he came up after the service and proved to me from the Bible how it's not biblical. It's only in the Old Testament, and he started saying this and that and the other. He had nothing to stand on. It was everything that so-and-so had told him. Well, Dr. So-and-so said this. I saw an article on this one time, and this is how it explained it. But is it what the Bible says? Well, no, it's not exactly what the Bible says, but that's really what it's going towards. There was nothing to stand on. The Bible's crystal clear when it comes to our giving, when it comes to our tithes, when it comes to our offerings, the principle of faith promise that we look at during missions month. It's all right here. God made it so crystal clear to us. Go back to 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians, look in chapter 11. Look in verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3. Pay attention especially to the second part of this verse here. It says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know, I don't know what it is about man as a whole. We like to make things so confusing. You don't believe that? Miss K, have you printed out this coming year's tax document book from the IRS? That'll be an easy example of how confusing man can make things, isn't it? You know, look at your taxes. You know, you think about, though, biblically, spiritually, how man has confused what the Bible says. Made it so confusing. How man has confused salvation. How man is confused what we're looking at here this morning, our giving, tithes and offerings, being a good steward of it. You know, there's a simplicity that is in Christ here that provides, that we read about here in this verse. It provides an elementary infrastructure for all areas of obedient living. God made it very simple for us to live for Him. It's not confusing. We try to make it harder. You know, it's like, you know, when you're trying to teach your kids something new or something they haven't been taught before, and they've got 100 questions about it. Stop. You're making it more harder than what it really is. Just back up a little bit. This is all you have to do. And that's what I think God, sometimes He looks down on us and says, stop. You're confusing all this. This is what I said. This is all you have to do right here. We like to confuse it. You know, when it comes to talking about our tithe, He made it very clear several times through the Bible. The first tenth of all our increase belongs to who? God. There's no other people mentioned. There's no other amount mentioned for our tithe. It is always one tenth. Belongs to God. It comes from our increase. It's given on the first day of the week. You know, God made it very clear, very simple for us. And we are to be good stewards, not just over that, but over all that God has given us. Attitude number three, as we look down through these, we should give out of our desire to care for the work of the Lord. Part of being a good steward over what God has given you and your treasures is learning how to use that for the work of God, for the work of the Lord. Now, it's very clear, when, especially in the New Testament, when we see the church, people gave through the church. It's not to say that you can't help other people out, but when it comes to our tithes and our offerings and the Lord's work, we do that through the church. You know, I've always looked, and it's always just, I look at it in amazement, how God can take a group of people like what we have here this morning and fund all the work that gets done for the Lord. It's incredible what God can take when we're good stewards and we give to the Lord what belongs to Him, and then we give offerings on top of that. And sometimes we'll have special projects, and it's like it comes from nowhere. God's people being used as good stewards to give to the work of the Lord, and the work gets done. You know, down in, God taught me a big lesson one time. We had our very first Faith Promise Missions Conference there at Maranatha, the last church that we were with. We had our very first missions conference, and we made it a Faith Promise Missions Conference. We introduced it. And I thought, man, if we can come out maybe with just being able to support two missionaries, let's make a goal of being able to support two missionaries this year from our first Faith Promise Conference. You know what we came out doing? Six missionaries. It boggled my mind. Praise the Lord. All the glory went to the Lord, but it just showed how when we are good stewards and we obey God in giving what belongs to Him and being good stewards over what He's given back to us, what He can use it for. We should have a desire to care for the work of the Lord. Even, and that's especially what we're talking about when it comes to faith promised, we saw the church in Macedonia there, they gave of themselves. They sacrificed to meet the needs of those around them. And that, I've seen that happen here too. We should be willing to, if that's what God leads, to be willing to sacrifice to help one another, help the work of the Lord go on. Sacrificial giving, that kind of giving which could affect one's lifestyle. Unfortunately, and I've heard some folks say, well, you might have to give up a cup of coffee from Starbucks this week. If we have to really sacrifice to give up a cup of Starbucks, we're not really sacrificing. But sometimes when we're good stewards of what God gives us, it does change our life. We have to change our lifestyle to be obedient to God in that. You know, we think about this, we give our tithes. We also give offerings towards other ministries of the church. Sometimes we've had special offerings taken up to buy a new bus or to do this or do that. We have special project offerings, I think, in the adult Sunday school class. We have a retirement fund now, building fund. Why do we do all this? To see the work of the Lord progress. To do more. We do it in faith promise. We already mentioned that. But the idea that, listen, our attitude should be that when I give, it's not because, well, if I don't give, you know, I'm going to be looked at as some miserable, you know, dirty, rotten Christian that's not obeying God. That's not why we give. What kind of giver does the Lord like? A cheerful giver. Amen? You know, we should be a cheerful giver. In other words, when we give to the Lord and we're good stewards and we give that back to the Lord, the desire to see that get used to further the work of the Lord. What it's going to do with it. You know, and we take up a special offering to help a missionary out. It's easy to see there. Obviously, it's going to help win souls in some other country. We can't go there. We know what it's going to do. When the teens went down on that missions trip a few months ago and we put together those scriptures, we couldn't even read some of those scriptures. They didn't do us any good. We couldn't even read them. But we knew that all the work that we put in that week, all the money that was raised so we can go there and help, man, it went right into God's work there in Kenya. Who knows how many souls got saved in Kenya because they read those John and Romans that we had put together that week, had a special part in it. All part of being a good steward and having a desire to see the work of the Lord go on. Attitude number four, we should give. And this is right along the lines, but more specific to our church. To our church. And we give to God through your local church. That's biblical. You give to the Lord through your local church. The first tenth, you see the example there set in the New Testament, is brought to the house of God on the first day of the week. You know, Malachi chapter 3, we read that often, talking about tithing as well there. Here's a question, here's an illustration. I don't know where this illustration came from, but listen to what it says. The question was, I've heard some ask, how do we actually give to God? I mean, aren't we really giving to an organization? But they call it giving to God. Well, the answer to that is you give to God, what you do is you give to his God-ordained entity that he placed in this world to fulfill his purposes while we are here on this earth. He calls it the church. That is God's conduit, you can kind of say, of giving to him, is through your local church. That's the biblical example that we see there in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament. They gave to their local, or through their local church. You know, when we give our tithes and offerings, when they give their tithes and offerings, when we gave them this morning, we just took up the offering here a few minutes ago. Do you believe when you say you gave it to God? How many of y'all, when you put that offering in the plate, said, well, I'm giving this to the church? Got to be careful saying that. You're giving it to God. through his means of giving it to him, through the local church. I know you say, well, I wrote out my check to Trinity Baptist Church, or if you're like I do, you take the shortcut, TBC. You don't write it out. You know, you write it out to Trinity Baptist Church. How is that giving to God? That's true. You made it out to Trinity Baptist Church. You placed it in the offering plate. But if there's any question about this, you need to understand we have a very secure, I wouldn't call it elaborate, but a very elaborate way of in place to respectfully handle those funds that are given. They're not wasted away. They're not unaccounted for. Every penny gets accounted for. In fact, there's some things that are set. Some might look at it, well, isn't this kind of going overboard to make sure about things? It's above reproach when it comes to the finances that are given to this church for the Lord. Just as we are personally called to be good stewards over what God's given us, this church as an entity is called to be a good steward over what God's given it as well, what belongs to Him. Sometimes we argue with this idea here that we're just giving to an organized religion. There's a lot of organized religions out there. How many times have you heard, and some of them are good, you know, organizations, some of them are good causes to give to and help for, but it should not take the place of what belongs to God. How many times during the week do you hear, for only 37 cents a day, you can do this, this, and that, and the other, helping something? Some of those are good causes, I agree. But there are those who will wrestle with sending their tithes to those calls. That belongs to God. Get past the idea of just organized religion and see that you indeed do give to God when you put your offering, your tithes and offerings, in that offering plate here at the church. You're giving it to the Lord. And rightfully so, it belongs to Him. God chose the church. He ordained the church. He made it clear in the Bible. He wrote it in black and white for us that our giving is done through His church. The church are the believers in Christ. And what does He do with that? He uses that to reach the world for the gospel, through the gospel. You know, it's nice to have a nice building and the upkeep of the building. You know, we have a bus ministry out here. It takes a lot of money to run a bus ministry. It takes a lot of money to upkeep a building like this, the property like this. You know, we have a tractor. Praise the Lord for that tractor out there that can come out here and plow all this snow and cut these fields. You know, we have a zero turn that cuts all the other grass. And Brother Carstetter has fun doing wheelies on that. You know, but you know, we have all the equipment we need. But guess what? It costs money to do all that. We had the parking lot resealed all this past year. All that stuff costs money. Guess where it comes from? Our tithes and our offerings. But that's not all that it does. We pass out, and by the way, this is part of being a good steward. We haven't gotten there yet, but part of being a good steward over the truth. The money goes towards buying tracts, Bibles, and we're to be good stewards over giving out, amen? Being a witness. It helps us further the gospel here in Fauquier County. The missionaries that we support, we do that through being stewards over the faith promise. I wonder, it'd be interesting to be able to count how many people are hearing the gospel this morning just from the missionaries we're able to support here this morning. You know how that's possible? Through God's people being good stewards and giving. That's how it's possible. I don't think we'll ever really, truly understand how far being a good steward over what we're talking about here this morning, our treasure, how far it really goes in its work for the Lord. What it accomplishes. We'll understand that when we get to heaven, but I think our minds are going to be blown when we stop and see what all the Lord used it to do. God works through leadership. Our leadership is very aware. You know, I'm talking about our pastor. He's very aware of the financial situation of our church. I've seen and heard him pray and pray and pray for wisdom with the finances of our church. He seeks God's will. You've seen that. You know him. I don't have to stand up here and say that. Our church prays often about funds to help people that are in the church, missionaries from the church, anything we can do to further fulfill the Great Commission that God's given us. All that's possible because God uses Christians in their local church to be used as good stewards in their giving. You know, it's interesting. Well, before I say it, our mission is to win the lost to Christ. Do you agree with that? Bring God glory, but to also be a witness, to bring the lost to Christ. And then after they, you know, once they get saved, are we just to leave them? No. We're to help them grow. Teach them. Teach them what the Word of God says. And then, as they grow in the Lord, they either start working here in the service of the Lord here at church, or we send them away to go work somewhere else as missionaries. That's what our goal is in all this. When we're good stewards of our treasure, God uses it to produce that. In part. It's not about, it's sometimes we think in the way this world thinks, and we try to politicize stuff like this. We're not taxing the rich. You ever notice in the Bible when it comes to tithe, there's not tax brackets? He made it very simple, didn't he? Just the first fruits of your increase. First fruits of your increase. Doesn't matter if you're in this tax status or that tax status, or you know, if you live in poverty, in the poverty level, or you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. God made it the same for every single one of us. That he expects us to obey. Be a good steward over. Let me just ask you that when we look at this, has God given you that mind? Has he given you the energy? Has he given you the trust to be a good steward over the resources here that we're talking about? The last one I want us to look at here very quickly is this last attitude. We should give out of compassion. Compassion. We're getting ready to have I Love My Church Sunday. Let me just ask this. Do you love the Lord? I think everybody in here would raise their hand. Yes, sure, I love the Lord. Part of how you love the Lord is seen in how you're a good steward over what he's given you. You know, we're to give our tithe. That's commanded of us. There's no arguing with that. But he also talks about giving an offering. Now, there's no set amount on that. No set amount. And I'm not saying if somebody gives $100, they love God more than the person that gave $10. Nowhere does it say that. But your love for God, he sees that based on how much we give to him. He does see that. It is still part of being. And what does that show? It shows our compassion for the lost. You know, I'll just use the example, you know, with my kids. You know, there's been times they've needed money for something. Sometimes it was a larger amount than other times. You know, we had to work things around, switch things around to make it possible. But we made sure it got done. Why? Because I love them. Because Kelly loves them. We made a way for it to happen. Because they're special to us. They're our children. We love them. Now, if some stranger on the street came up, knocked on the door, and asked for the same thing, it probably would have been a different story. Not because I hate them or anything like that, but I don't know them. I don't love them like I do my children. I would not have been willing to go to an extreme way to make it happen. We do things out of compassion, even in our obedience to God. Our obedience to God, whether we obey him in the areas that we talk about in the preaching, when the Holy Spirit, going back to that conviction, When the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and you know what you should do, your compassion for the Lord, your love for the Lord plays a big part in whether or not you're going to obey. Being a good steward, good stewardship is committing to God what you have, whether it's money, possessions, our gifts, our talents, our time, truth, whatever it is, and realizing it's not about us, about how much we love the Lord, how much we love God, how much compassion do you have for the love this, for the Lord this morning? It's easy to say, I love the Lord. But to put our action, especially with what we're talking about here this morning, with our stewardship, to put that behind it, to prove it. How much compassion do you have for the Lord this morning? How much compassion do you have for the lost? We talked about that during missions months, especially. We stress that often. So many times during that month, we'll talk about our burden for the lost, our burden for the lost. How much compassion do you have for the lost to be saved? To make any kind of way possible. You know, we look at these different attitudes as we went through them here this morning. Our convictions. Let me encourage you, if you don't know why you believe what you believe, you better get in the Word of God and figure it out. Because you won't obey God the right way until you do. But especially with our stewardship here, why are we to be a good steward? Over our finances, over the truth, over our talents, over our time? Because it's what the Bible says. It's more than just an idea or an opinion. It is a conviction that the Holy Spirit lays on our hearts to be a good steward. We should give with clarity. Don't be confused with what God has commanded us to do as far as being a steward over whatever it is. Especially with our treasure, though, He's very clear. A tenth, the first fruit of our first fruits, of our increase. Very clear there. Give out of a desire to care for the work of the Lord. We do it through our local church. And then we also do it out of compassion. Let's make sure we have the right attitudes when we're talking about being a good steward over what we looked at here this morning, over our treasure, or with any part of being a good steward. Have the right attitude about it. Amen.